Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. How you doing?
I'm great because I went on vacation.
Yay.
Welcome to episode 182 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 8th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot Show Season, Stasco, South Park, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we are discussing fear-free grooming, salicylic acid, and whether the retail is really worth it. If you'd like to discuss things with us, you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod, which means it downloads automatically every time I put an episode out so that if I forget to announce it on Facebook, you don't have to go hunting for it. And you can do that pretty much anywhere you subscribe to podcasts. Also, you can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner and the Patreon button, the donation button, and the, yeah, that's it, at thegroompod.com. Share us with all your grooming pals, and please support our sponsors. So the Groom Pod has received what I call the Dave Campanella bump. The Dave Campanella bump.
Oh, the Dave Campanella bump. So we got a bunch of new people and everything because
yes,
I was so impressed to see our logo on Dave's screen in his seminar room. He is so kind. And by the way, groomer friends, Dave Campanella of Best Shot announced formally this week that Best Shot is providing total ingredient information on their website under each product. And I went and checked it out, and the ingredient lists are spot on. They're not dancing around at all. It's the truth. It's exactly the inky names, the international nomenclature for cosmetic ingredients, official global definition. It's so cool. And he's also got kind of a position statement of the company about ingredients. And it's really a breakthrough in our industry that this rather large company has come forth like this and has made their ingredients transparent and their belief in transparency obvious, you know, and so that's huge.
It definitely falls right in line with everything we here on the Groom Pod believe, and it just warms my heart that Best Shot has been a sponsor of us from the very beginning, and they're a great sponsor, and Dave Campanella himself is a fantastic supporter of the Groom Pod because he does always put up our stuff in the seminars, and when it happens, we get the Dave bump, and we're getting a Dave bump. So welcome to all you new people. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I love it. So this week, Barbara, has been interesting for me. It's never easy to come back to work, and the weather has gone to poo. So it's raining, and it's 42 degrees. Exactly. I have shed my shorts. I'm back in long pants.
I'm in long pants today, too, because we're having a little cold spell, and it's like 70 degrees.
I went out the last day in my shorts. It was 42 degrees and raining, and it never got above that. Uh-oh. And I thought, that's it. I'm pulling the plug. And then, you know, just to go along with my people and pets and equipment breaking, my Andis XL 5-speed clippers died on me. But luckily, I have you know.
Didn't you just get those repaired or something?
No.
That was your other thing. God, yeah. Equipment failure.
I know, and I suspect it has something to do with the cord, but not the usual cord problem. The Andis 5-speed clippers have a cord issue in that the way they attach the cord into the body is bad, and it bends and eventually breaks on all of them. But if you put a zip tie in between the hanger and the cord and hold the cord still, then you don't have any problem. However, the zip tie in the hanger does not help when the plug and the cord disengage from each other and the plug falls from about 8 feet up. So I think I probably cracked the housing on the cord. And so I'll have to go change that out. Either that or it's the motor or the brushes or who knows. I haven't messed with it because I had another set of clippers right in the, you know, in my little drawer. So good. I just swapped them out. And then I have a third and fourth pair in my back of my Explorer just in case, because I hate to be without clippers. That would really drive me crazy. I also went to the dog's house that passed out on the table. Yeah. And I did her grooming, and the lady did the bath, and she was dry enough. Probably would be better if I did her more a little bit later in the afternoon, so she bathes her in the morning and she's a little bit drier. But the dog never stressed at all. I went through the whole grooming. It was maybe a half an hour less of time, and I got the full pay on it. So it was like getting a raise.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, I've been doing a little bit of writing about holistic grooming, and that just makes me realize that the other time, you don't know what kinds of experience that dog might have had during its day before it got to your van. You know, you just don't know. There might have been some other stress. They might have gotten into trouble with mom. You know, like maybe they got into the trash and then they got yelled at, or, you know, like you don't know what might have built up some stress before the dog even got to its grooming.
Quite true. Although from the reports from mom, she was asleep under the bed. But, you know, it's all kind of perspective. You know, she may have been vacuuming and the dog hates the vacuum. I know personally, I've been there when she's attacked the vacuum, and maybe she was under the bed because she was vacuuming and that set her off. I mean, there's so many variables. You're right. But I was really happy to see no blue tongue, no panting, no stress.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Yeah. Like, thank God.
The only stress was my stress, because I was a little concerned about it. How is it going to go? Is everything going to be okay? Do I need to do anything else differently? No, we were done quicker. It was all pretty stress-free. Stress-free as I can make grooming. You know, she still had to have her nails done. Still had to get those ears cleaned out. Right? But much better. So I was pretty pleased about that. I guess that's my week. Well, of course, I went on vacation. I went down to Knott's Scary Farm and saw the monsters and rode the new roller coaster. And then we went up to Universal and had a VIP tour. And I stuck my head in Jaws and I kissed the Bigfoot and took my picture with Beetlejuice and all kinds of fun stuff. And I came back revived and ready to go. And I'm so happy about that. But what went on while I was gone, Barbara? Anything exciting? I know you did a Facebook thing.
I did a Facebook thing and it was a lot of fun. And then it was kind of a bummer because my cable service bailed out on me and I lost connection and so it was over. But I mean, I just couldn't get back. You know how it is. Sometimes in 2 minutes I can get back online, but in this case, I just couldn't. There was probably bad time. It was Sunday morning again. And probably heavy use. I want to get to Cox Cable to talk to him about about all of this, but it's been raining. You do rain, it's every day. Like, so what? But when we do rain, it's like everything else has to stop.
And you do heat like every day, and it's all good. And me, I go crawling underneath the tree and hiding and complaining.
That's what makes us different. And then the other, well, I'm going to save the other news to talk to you. There's some news about show season that I want to talk about. And I think I'll save that for our show season segment. Okay. And then other than that, you know, I'm very relieved to see that my winter customers are drifting back home. It's starting to cool off, and here they come. And Maccabee the Wheaton is going to be here next Saturday. He's my boyfriend. And dogs are coming back, not horribly messed up on their grooming. And so it's a good thing. And business is picking up, and it's cooler in my shop. So we're all getting happy.
Yay. That must be a relief, that right, weather especially.
Is. Yeah.
We have a new member of the Groom Pod Squad, and her name is Jessica Lovegren. Thank you, Jessica.
Well, hi, Jessica. Welcome to the club, and we appreciate your support.
Yeah. I should also mention, even though I don't really want to mention, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Obviously, we did not win the Barkley Honors Award, but we are okay with that. It's fine, because we're going to keep doing what we do anyway, and I can always buy a trophy. Right?
It's not the same, and you know it, and we're disappointed, but we move on, and you know, we'll be doing maybe a few little changes for this coming year, because we are competitive and we are looking forward to next year's honors awards.
Yes.
You know, like Joey Villani, who he won a couple of those things, he said he was he's been nominated 17 times and this was his first chance to win, and he won two. We're not doing bad at all. Well, you know, I really enjoyed doing the live video more than I thought I would. Somehow I have managed to, with the help of having a backdrop and, I don't know, just some kind of mental adjustment, I'm no longer resisting seeing myself.
Oh, good, because that's all that's holding us back.
Yeah, that was all that was holding. I think I can just say that those concerns have pretty much melted away.
Ooh, big things coming for the Groom Pod. That's what I'll
say. So I'm ready to do more video work because it's fun.
Well, let's take a moment to honor our friends at Best Shot and hear about their products. And then we're going to come back and do a Facebook question from our friend Laura Hearn.
The author?
Yeah. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15-1 for deep cleaning, 50-1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot special coat releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. All right, we got a question from Facebook from our friend Laura Hearn, who wrote the House Call Grooming book, and she says, here's an idea for a segment talk. I keep hearing about groomers marketing that they have and use fear-free techniques in their salon. Shouldn't all grooming be fear-free? What does that mean in the eyes of a groomer and in the eyes of a client? And I'll add, in the eyes of the dog. Let's discuss. What do you think?
Okay, so fear-free, you have to understand the history of fear-free, because fear-free It's a brand, actually, kind of a brand. It's a certification that's being offered in the veterinary field. And it came out of, there's a crisis. Veterinarians, there's more and more veterinarians, but there's less and less people taking their dogs to the vet. And they just looked at the figures and realized that they needed to do something. And they determined that one of the reasons people stay away from the vet is that they think the dogs have frightful experiences there. So they determined to take a different approach and learn a different approach, and in this case, to market a different approach. So the Fear Free is actually a certification course. It's multi-tiered, but it's a long-term certification course that entitles you to use the term Fear Free and put a placard up in your place, a business, or several placards up or whatever, that tells your customers that you have been certified to be trained in alternative handling methods and service giving methods for your clients. It's to assure the customers that you've evolved.
And you said it started in the vet industry, but they're spilling over into boarding and training and grooming, or at least from what I read, that's what they're hoping to do.
They do have a trainer module. They don't have a specific lineup of it's an extended education structure. Okay, so it's structured extended education all around this concept of reducing stress on the pets for their visit to the veterinarian. It even includes the night before surgery, the trip to the vet, you know, how the owners approach the visit, and handling techniques. Yeah, they want to offer it in many, it's very science-based. They're doing research. The thing I liked about it is that they have an actual research goal. They're getting involved in studies to document proven techniques of stress management in the veterinary practice.
I hate the name, though. I really do hate the name because it implies that grooming is fearful or that veterinary visits are fearful. And yes, they are. We know that because we have to go to the doctor. We go to the dentist. We get our hair done. Well, okay, I don't get my hair done, but people get their hair done. I don't know if you're afraid to go to the hairdresser or not, but I do know that there are things that we do to the dogs that are inherently scary and we still got to do them. So I think calling it fear-free is a misnomer.
Then what about stressless?
I like that better. Stressless.
But it still could be stress-free, you know.
I wouldn't like it if it was stress-free. If it's stressless grooming, I would be okay with it. But when they say fear-free grooming, it's just not possible. And my bone to pick with that, my contention is every single dog or cat or animal is an individual and every single owner is an individual. And I understand that the triggers are so different for each and every one. Sometimes just leaving the house is a trigger for these dogs. You can't make a fear-free environment when the dog starts out by leaving the house, getting in a car and freaking out. You're already in a deficit. So that's why I don't like fear-free. I like stress-less because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to take some of the stress away. And it's purely semantics.
Okay, so that's just semantics because actually the fear-free people, they do cover that whole business about the trip to the vet.
I know.
You know, you know, like I, for one, I'm very happy to see the veterinarians getting involved in that because, for example, I have a little story. One time I agreed to do a cat grooming seminar with two cats that were supplied to me that I didn't know. Okay.
Well, that's risky right there.
So that's risky right there. So because I work with cats using another assistant, I asked for an assistant from the audience. There again, somebody I didn't know, instead of hand-picking someone ahead of time like Daryl Connor, I didn't do that. I just took potluck, and this woman was a vet tech. I said, oh, perfect. Come on up. Well, you know, like the cat did some little teeny thing, and man, she was scruffing it and rolling it and, you know, like stretching it out and, you know, and she's pinning it down on the table. And I said, wait a minute here. And I used it as a great teaching opportunity without shaming the woman. That was tricky.
Boy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there can be a kind of a tricky area between being critical and criticizing and not demeaning somebody, you know, or shaming them. So anyway,
especially
that's
enough. In their own house.
So that's, yeah, especially in their own. That was how she was trained, is kind of to come on in the nearly maximum level of restraint right away. And I always approach cat grooming about, like, let's go from zero, you know.
I use the same approach. That's the way I do it.
So, I was really glad to see that there's this real movement happening within the veterinary community, you know, and if they want to call it fear-free and put a poster up in their place of business, their practice, that's fine. It's an easy name to remember. It says what they want. And so I know I like stress less better too.
Yeah, but it's minor.
You know, there again, we have stress less university, which is based on the teachings of Dr. Sophia Yin, who is a wonderful trainer of a behaviorist in the full sense of the word. She really knew her stuff, and she wrote a lot of books and did a lot of work with problem dogs, and she used positive training methods, and she died. You know, she committed suicide.
Oh.
And nobody could understand why, because she was at the top of her peak. And, veterinarians and groomers, we suffer from too much empathy, you know, and it can really lead to a emotional depression. But nonetheless, she has wonderful writings, and I so wish that she were with us today, that we could incorporate her in some of our extended education programs, because the woman was brilliant with animals. But there is a certification, again, based on veterinary practice, but it has a lot of applications for groomers. And it's something that I hope to incorporate some of these concepts from both of those certification programs into our forthcoming Holistic Groomers Association. That's just a little hint of maybe don't get me talking about it, because I'm not ready to talk about it. Yeah, that it's valuable stuff. And here's something else that I read on the Fear Free website, Susie. If you use the term fear free to apply it to your practice and you market fear free, you will be legally chased. I mean, they seriously said it, you know, we'll come for you.
Interesting.
So don't try marketing yourself as a fear-free trained groomer if you're not.
I think there's a place for this. I think it's a great idea. I think that the goal for every day's grooming is to reduce the stress for the animal, though. I mean, isn't that just our goal in general? Maybe it's not everybody's goal, but it's what I do. That's like my whole thing.
I know. And it's what I do, but it isn't. It isn't the focus of every grooming setup. The focus can be volume. The focus can be how to smoothly move 32 dogs through this facility in a day, you know?
Yeah.
It seems to be common sense, Susie, but it's not. And there are too many situations where, have you ever seen how dogs are handled at the dog show sometimes? Have you ever seen a wire fox terrier standing on grooming blocks?
No.
So the way that they keep them from dancing around is that they train them to stand on four blocks of wood.
I've never even heard of that. That seems a little excessive.
Yeah, I don't like it. I didn't like it when I saw it. I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? He said, well, this keeps the dog, that, you know, like they're fine. They always say, well, they're fine, you know, but there's just stuff that goes on for the sake of the win. And those dogs are just objects. I mean, not all, but it tends to be that after a certain period of time, you kind of erodes your empathy and you get calluses on your sensitivity areas. You have to, in order to survive the environment, the world of dog showing. You're shuffling dogs in and out. You don't got a lot of time. You know, like I used to get in trouble for talking to the dogs too much at the boarding kennel. You know, I used to go back to the back in the board. I worked in a boarding grooming kennel, and I used to go back into the boarding area. And instead of taking my lunch, I'd go back there and talk to the dogs and say, I'll be over soon. Your mommy will come tomorrow. You know, this kind of stuff. But anyway, I digress.
I've definitely seen a range of handling techniques among the vets in all the hospitals I've worked at. And I have seen some extremely aggressive nail trimming, like two people holding a large dog down unnecessarily while they try to trim the dog's nails. I've seen a lot of that. So I could see where there's definitely a value in some new education for everybody involved.
Everybody all right. Involved. So, okay.
Let's hear from South Park Professional Pet Products, and then we're going to move on to our back to school segment. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Park Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Park, as you know, is the originator of the now-famous South Park's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Park's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Veterinary vocabulary, Barbara. The word is cyst.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know how to define a cyst?
I don't know. I know how to recognize one. cyst is going to have fluid in it, isn't it?
It is. It's a closed sac-like pocket of tissue filled with pus, fluid, or gas, or whatever. It's filled with something.
Yeah.
I know it. Yeah, gross. But we have the pleasure of discovering a lot of these lumps, especially when we're drying the dogs. We've got lumps underneath the skin, cysts that show up to us that the owners don't even know are there. So I thought it was a good word.
Did you hold the phone? Are you aware of the freeze pen? The market, the freeze pen? Freeze pen is a tool. It's a nitrogen tool that freezes warts and stuff on the skin of the animals without anesthesia.
I've had them do that to a thing on my eyelid.
I want one.
Ooh, I want one too.
I want one for myself. Anyway, look up freeze pen without the, it's F-R-E-E-Z pen.
Okay.
You know, and I just wonder, they say estheticians, so I think if we, you got a little certification from Christine Pearson, you probably might apply for being able to manage one of those pens. It's interesting. It's interesting. Are you finding it?
Not yet. Let's see. We're not selling it there. I'm going to look over here because now you got me curious.
It's not coming up?
Well, now I'm on eBay.
Oh, well, I don't know if it's on eBay.
$140. There's one that's $400 and everything in between. Ah, cool.
So anyway, you know, like we all need to be aware of this freeze pen, this nitrogen technology that removes lumps and bumps, especially for our customers, because they won't take care of the stuff because they don't want to do a general anesthesia. And I understand that. It's not good for all lumps and bumps.
Right. More like skin tags.
Skin tags and warty warts. I don't think it's really a cyst remover.
No, but gosh, what a cool deal. You know what I really want? Is
what?
I want a camera pen, a digital camera pen that sends the pictures to my phone so that I can look in the dog's ears with the pen.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're only like $79 on eBay. But you could see right in there. You could check out inside their mouth.
Yeah, I don't know. But my dentist had something like that, the dental tech. I mean, he called her over and they did something like that in my mouth when they were trying to look at the posts that are in there.
That's where I found it. He's like, you got to get one of these. And I went, oh my God, I need one. All right. Anyway, grooming glossary. The grooming glossary this week is slab-sided. You got me going last week. I had to come up with an example of a slab-sided dog. So what's slab-sided?
Bedlington Terriers. So it's sort of like there's no roundness of the rib cage. There's no roundness of the body. It's just flat, like slabbed.
Irish Setter comes to mind. You know, they're just this really weird, skinny... Yeah. No spring to the ribs, nothing. No shape. It's just big and flat. So Bedlington, that's the classic Bedlington.
Yeah.
Okay.
So excited.
Moving on to our definition du jour, sponsored by Show Season Pet Products. Barbara, tell us about one or the other. Pick your choice.
One or the other? Well, let me see.
Yeah.
Give us you want a definition, eh?
Either the definition or the show season thing. Either one.
Oh, well, you know what? I would just as soon use this time to breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Hang on. I'll put in a sounder. I'll put in the breaking news sounder. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and here it is, people. I've heard it from Sandy Giorgi herself. Show Season has bought out South Park Blueberry Facial and has reformulated the product, tweaked it, the formula, as you might say, and will be selling it direct.
That's really interesting.
So it is very interesting. You know, there's a whole history about Blueberry Facial. It was originally manufactured by Kim Laube and Company. The manufacturer never really totally told the brand owner, who were the Blueberry Girls, what was in the product.
Well, that seems a little unfriendly.
It was just, they were so proprietary. That company was so proprietary, they didn't want to disclose anything to anybody. But it's amazing that they didn't disclose their ingredients even to the owner of the brand. Some information came forward about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, when they reformulated their shampoo base to get rid of sodium lauryl sulfate, which was in there. And I swore that there was sodium lauryl sulfate in the original blueberry facial because I had two instances of corneal burning from that shampoo getting in dogs' eyes, vet visits, and, you know, having to pay for a little medicine there. But now Show Season has purchased the company and they've tweaked the formula to be an even more friendly formula. And the Laube formula had like 35 ingredients. It just wasn't a friendly list, I'll tell you. I'm very anxious to give this new product a try. I'm sure it's going to be all that Blueberry Facial has ever been before, plus some.
Is it just the Blueberry Facial, or did they get the whole Blueberry line, including the foamer and all that stuff?
Yeah, I think they got the whole thing because they've always had the whole thing up on their website.
Okay.
So they're just manufacturing all of the products.
All right.
And that's kind of exciting industry news to go along with. And they will be redoing the website safety data sheet information where Show Season lists all of the ingredients in the product and the range of percent. You know, they're not telling you the exact percent of each ingredient, but you can certainly see from the most to the least.
That's big news, Barbara. That is
Isn't that really big news? So we're going to know what's in Blueberry Facial coming up.
Okay. Now tell us about salicylic acid.
Okay. Salicylic acid, I chose that to share with you today because a week or so ago, we did last week when I was on live, we talked about the shampoos. There's two of them now that utilize bleach. Okay. That utilize bleach, and that bleach rinse, a very, very light bleach, highly diluted bleach rinse, has been a veterinary tool for dreadful skin problems for a long time. It's kind of a last ditch kind of thing. Well, let's give her a bleach dip, you know.
Ew.
And you need to do it every week. And I was horrified when I heard that. But as I read up about the new, I think it's AdVet Command is the shampoo. I've actually ordered some. And what changed my mind is that I had a customer that had
I had it earlier.
I'm gonna spanking my tongue. we had a dog that had bad skin problem, and the vet said to do the bleach rinse, and it really helped. It really made a difference. And so I was interested, and the AdVet Command shampoo uses sodium hypochlorite bleach and salicylic acid. So let's take a look at salicylic acid and see what the heck it is. Okay.
Excellent.
So it's a broad spectrum, wide range, antibacterial and fungicidal agent. So it's also, as the bleach is working as a disinfectant, so is the salicylic acid. It's used externally as the antimicrobial agent and the active agent in dandruff shampoos. It has skin sloughing properties and is keratolytic, loosens skin flakes. And it dissolves the top layer of corneum cells or old dead skin. Because some skin problems, boy, especially in dogs, they kind of have a buildup of old dead skin.
Yeah.
It's icky, yeah. So this is one of the things that salicylic acid is. It kind of helps get rid of that. And it leaves skin soft and smooth and encourages new growth, right? And it also reduces sebaceous follicle blockage, or, you know, like greasy, clogged pores.
Blackheads.
Well, blackheads, I have dirt in there and it makes them black, but just clogged pores from an overactive sebum situation. So greasy, clogged pores, it's going to flush them out. And like we said, it's antibacterial as well as fungicidal. However, it can cause irritation and skin rash in sensitive individuals. So this is something you need to know about salicylic acid. It's not that it's going to cause irritation and skin rash, but that some individuals, and this is going to apply to dogs and apply to people, are going to have a reaction. If you have a dog that the owners say they had a reaction to the shampoo, it could happen.
I think it's oxymoronic that dogs with bad skin, i.e. sensitive dogs, sensitive skin, have to use a shampoo that could cause some dogs that have sensitive skin to react. But I understand broad spectrum is always a plus.
Yeah, it's always a plus. And it's an oil-soluble substance, so it penetrates the sebum and hair follicles and exfoliates the pores. What does I say? I'm reading my own little notes. Oh, it's in the human, for humans, it's used in skin peels.
Oh, like those things that they put on overnight and then peel it off. And
yeah, or you go to the face doctor and they give you, boy, have you ever had, no, I know you haven't, because you don't do anything like this. No. But I have had the experience of having the esthetician pot my blackheads. And It was one of the most painful procedures I've ever had, and I don't ever want to do it again.
That doesn't sound good.
So, you know, the other thing I know about salicylic acid, and it's not even in my glossary yet, but I know this to be true, is that it's ototoxic.
Oh, it's bad for your ears.
So it's not a really welcome ingredient in ear care products, although it's found in many ear care products. I wouldn't use it in an ear care product, and I wouldn't use an ear care product that had salicylic acid in it. And that's all there is to know about that.
All right.
I just had to cut it short because Susie's fallen asleep.
If I sit down, I might have to take a nap. Here I am sitting down at 4 in the afternoon. Very unusual. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, let's hear from Evolution Shears then. That'll keep me awake. They'll poke me with the pointy end of the shears. And then we're coming back for the At the Table segment, which is another question off of Facebook about whether retail is worth it. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution Shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution Shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. We have a question from one of our Facebook listeners, and her name is Brittany Brown, and her question is, I have a unique opportunity to be an area's supply of a specific pet supply. Is retail worth it? Any tips? And this is an area in which you have more practical experience than I do. I have plenty of opinions on it, though, for a change. All right. So here's my first question. The first question I have when you're considering whether to do retail or not is how much space do you have? Because that's my first issue. I have no space. What am I going to do? Put it in the back of my Explorer? Carry it around with me? It just doesn't make sense. You, on the other hand, you have half a storefront. So you have space.
I have space. And my experience is that in about 1980-something, early 80s, I decided to add retail and I wanted to do holistic grooming and, you know, like kind of alternative products and things, as well as leashes and collars and that kind of stuff. And I've got to say, if I look back on it, I'm going to say it was one of my worst decisions. Really?
I believe it.
It's one of the reasons I am now way over my head in credit card debt. Because I bought things that didn't sell. I can't tell you how many things I bought that didn't sell. I bought supplements I couldn't give them away. Well, I could give them away. I could give away almost anything. But supplements, boy, the people have got to believe in them in order to buy them. And you cannot take time out of grooming to educate every customer on supplements. Now, here's the deal. If she's got an exclusive distributorship for one thing that has a high demand, then go for it. I tried to be all things to all people, and I failed. I mean, I struggled along. I sold healthy pet food before there was any other places to buy healthy pet food. I sold Cornucopia, and it was good for as long as I was the exclusive. I also sold Nature's Recipe, and then they went into PetSmart. And where did everybody go? They went to PetSmart on Sunday rather than wait around for me to open up on Tuesday. You know, like it was silly. I can't stay open the hours that a PetSmart can stay open. I can't move product like that. And then the thing with pet food is there's not that great a markup on pet food. No, you got to sell a lot of it to make it worth your while. And you also have to haul the bags. You know, like one of the few times I was out of work with a bad back was when I took a 40-pound bag of dog food and rotated with it and tried to throw it onto a shelf. That was it. I was hurt. You know, like, it's, you know, there's a lot to it, but here, the biggest thing is, if you don't have time to actively sell, then you can't have retail. You know, if it's taking away from your time grooming, you're going to hate it.
And you're not going to make any money.
And you're not going to make any money because items don't just fly off the shelf unless you're PetSmart. Or unless you have an extremely pricey, you know, and that's the other thing is you've got to buy within the price range of your customers. So
what I would say is you have to be able to afford to tie up money in inventory, first and right. foremost. You have to risk the fact that you could have dog food that goes out of date and then is pretty much junk to you. And you've already laid out the money for that. You have to risk that you're going to choose products that are actually something that the people that are coming in for your service need, because you're not going to get walk-in traffic. That's not the point. If you choose the right exclusive product, it could possibly bring walk-in traffic to your shop that wouldn't be there. But then you're dealing with people who may or may not need grooming. So if you're going to carry anything, I would say do it for the convenience of your client, not for the ability to make money. Like, for instance, you could carry a line of brushes because there isn't a day goes by that somebody doesn't ask me which brush I recommend. So you could sell that. That's easy. It's small. That might do something. But taking on an entire line of something, that seems like a really big layout to me, a layout of money, a layout of time, and a layout of space. Who are your competitors in the area? You know who your grooming competitors are, but when you start adding retail, you've got a whole nother list of competitors, just like Barbara was talking about. You got the pet somethings, and you've got the little ma and pa stores that just do pet items. There's a lot more competition in selling retail items than there is in selling grooming as a service. Also, the selection, just to have the right selection. If you pick the wrong selection, nobody's going to buy it, and it's just going to take up room on your shelves. You want to be simple. I like simplicity. I don't think it's really a great idea to venture out past the grooming services. That's fine for me. I don't need to offer anything else. Now, everybody's different. But what do you think?
Well, I think that it doesn't hurt to sell things that you will use if it doesn't sell. Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
So that way you're kind of providing yourself with a backup inventory. You know, so there's the combs and brushes, shampoo that you use, and you know, and sometimes the shampoo that you use, the people want it because they like the fragrance or they want to duplicate that at home. So grooming items are good, but even then, don't do harnesses.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to fit the fuckers. And what if they don't bring the dog in? You can't fit the dog. You can't, you kind of going to guess, and you send it home. They come back, and it just like takes too long. God. Yeah. So you need to find stuff that's going to hop off the shelf by itself. And if you have too much stuff, it's not going to do it. But if you're featuring something like grooming tools, I tried selling scissors out of my retail, and that didn't really work. Selling scissors does work when you're doing a lot of teaching.
Oh,
because there again, you know, like you want to put some tools in the hands of your students. I've taught a lot of people how to groom their own dogs, and they'll buy tools from me. In fact, I had someone who moved to Colorado. She made a trip all the way back here to talk to me about some other grooming tools and products because she trusted me so much.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Oh, yeah. That was a trip. I was so honored. But anyway, be very careful about going into debt for retail because it might bite your ass.
Yeah, and be careful committing to a product line where you have to sell the entire line. That can be a loser. Also, be aware that you're a groomer, not a pet store retail salesperson. So do what you do best. All right. Well, let's call this one a show, Barbara. Let's finish it up. Let's put it in the can. Let's open up the coffin, lay it down, and shut the door because we are
nailing.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for being here, guys. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And, of course, thanks for the Patreon contributions. We really appreciate that. Remember to shop on Amazon through our website. Remember to tell all of your grooming pals about how much fun we have here on our little show. And thanks for being here. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves. See you next week.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.